This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It is a 10-year deal. A 10-year extension worth $450 million in the extension. The bottom line to this whole contract is, Kevin, it now becomes not just the richest contract in NFL history, but the richest contract in sports history.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
MLB created Slab and did all the stuff to be able to run a season. And I know there's going to be hiccups, you know, but you just can't hiccup with this, you know, because it could just be one day where it just ruins everything.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I think we've got as good a chance as the other teams for that eight. You don't know how the other teams are going to do. That also factors in, but probably got to go 6-2. It's my game. Maybe 5-3. Depends on how many games they win.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Two in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
What's happening? Welcome back, you guys. We got the gang back together. It's been a while.
Yeah.
What'd I miss?
I signed a $500 million contract. Mm. Oh, I know. That wasn't me. Mm. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was in my dreams.
500 million pesos?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm worth 500 million pesos.
I take 500 million pesos in a second.
How many American dollars is that?
I don't know. I don't know what the current exchange rate is.
Let's guess.
International travel is not on my docket.
Let's guess.
Okay. You want to guess?
Well, you actually can't go to Mexico. They don't want you to go to them now. It's... Yeah, the travel bans have reversed on us.
Okay, I just Googled it. I have the number and the answer in front of me.
Okay, 500 million pesos compared to the U.S. dollar. I'm going to say, Andy Dirt Johnson, that...
That was a drum roll.
$970,000.
Wow. $500 million and 900,000?
I'm going to say it's a little more than that. Hold on.
Hold on. I can defend this answer.
What is a peso worth? Like a penny to a dollar?
When I went to Mexico in eighth grade, it basically felt like that. I'd be like, hey, how much is this? My mom's like, oh, it's only a dollar U.S.
I'm like, 500 million pesos. I'm going to say that's about 20 million U.S.
Swigard is far closer than you, Sprague.
Yeah.
It is 22,031,000.
Okay.
So.
You did not sign for that much, though.
No, I did not quite get that either.
I was kind of close.
No,
maybe 22 million pesos. You know, maybe that. Maybe I'm in that ballpark, somewhere in that range.
I'd take 22 million pesos.
That's $969,000. There you go.
There we go.
We all equal the same number.
You know what? Free money is free money. So if you want to give me more money and make it in pesos, I'm in, baby.
So that's, you guys missed that. Let's see what else you missed yesterday. Baseball is a total cluster F right now. The MLS is a total cluster F right now.
And the NBA is a bit of a cluster right now, too.
Did you see the video? I just saw this because Dame retweeted it, and I don't know if there's any validity behind it.
I know where you're going.
Very dangerous to do, but somebody tweeted out a video saying this is a washroom for the WNBA's return.
It's their washer dryer room.
Like a laundry room.
Yeah, laundry room.
And it looks like it's in a basement in a shack that has rats running around it.
It kind of looked like one of my apartment
laundry rooms in college.
Yeah.
There was one mouse trap.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of had like pee stain looking things on the floor. The washer dryers were a little older.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would take quarters but not work. I had many of those experiences.
Yeah, we had a house in college where you had to go down into a basement to do the laundry.
Yep.
And it was like the only thing that was down there, and you had to go outside to get down there to get to it. And there was all sorts of weird animals underneath the house. You just hope you didn't run into one. Like, God, please tell me there's not a raccoon right by this. And yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. So the NBA also, or excuse me, the WNBA also, apparently a cluster F right now.
Yeah, that's you know, it's not ideal.
So that's what we got going on right now.
But
other than that, how was your guys' 4th of July?
Oh, it was pretty low key. In fact, let me just announce something.
Oh, big announcement.
I don't think I'm buying fireworks ever again. I think I'm just going to go to a place where I can sit and let somebody else light off the very expensive, nice fireworks.
Yeah, you don't buy the boat. You want to know the person that owns the boat.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it.
Right.
We booked a beach house in February just thinking, let's go get away. And then COVID hits and we didn't know if we were going to get the house. We kept it. We didn't cancel. And lo and behold, it opened up just enough for us to go. And our neighbors next to us had fireworks. They had a good time. And that was interesting with like a family style.
Right.
Fourth. But it ended up being okay. And the 4th of July was perfect because we went to Newport. And we were pretty sure that nobody was going to have fireworks just because of everything going on. But then we were like, nobody listens to the rules. Nobody cares. Right. Like COVID, to a certain extent, is almost worse. The death rates drop, but like the cases are rising faster. Mm-hmm. But
people are very stubborn. They don't like to be told what to do.
They don't. So we had a beautiful little patio fireplace in the back, and we're up on a bit of a bluff overlooking the ocean, right on a trail going down to the beach.
That's a solid spot.
And the main beach area that everybody parks in front of and walks down was probably like a half mile, quarter mile away. And so we just started a fire. We put our chairs out and we just aimed that direction all night.
Just enjoyed the show.
Dude, they went on till midnight. It was fantastic.
That's a really good plan. I've never been somebody. Now, we all waste money. We all spend money, I should say, on things that other people would deem stupid. Like, we all have those things in our life. Like
plenty.
Like, yeah. I buy, like, custom golf balls from time to time that are expensive. You pay more. I'm going to lose all of them eventually, but I just like doing it for some stupid reason. And there's probably people that look at that and say, what a terrible waste of money. I've always been that way with fireworks. That's been my vantage point looking at it, is your way, because everybody else has them. You have access to view them. There are shows that you can go watch them at.
Yeah.
And they explode in a matter of seconds, and then now all that money's gone. You get like 1 second of enjoyment out of a very expensive firework. So it's never been something I've spent money on.
Well, I've always been pretty big team firework guy. In fact,
yeah, you're a big firework bro.
I still maintain if I ever get a 2 ham sandwich salary, I'm going to have a fireworks show in a backyard somewhere.
You want to be the guy. You like being that, you want to put on the show for the neighbors.
It's fun.
Yeah.
When you get good fireworks, it makes it
fun.
See,
I like being the guy that lives next to that guy that's sitting in a patio chair drinking a beer and saying, ooh, pretty.
Come on over.
Right?
Yeah. The party's
that
open.
Guy.
Right?
Your party.
I was the guy with the butane torch and the beer.
That was you?
And so...
Wait, this 4th?
No.
Oh.
Back
first,
in the day.
First marriage, in-laws lived in Idaho Falls, which is out in the southeastern Idaho desert.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Idaho Falls.
There's not much out there.
Idaho kind of sucks. I mean, there's beautiful spots, but Idaho in large is not great.
There was a Native American reservation nearby that had no rules. It's short of dynamite. And that was, you know, dynamite was, if you got it, whatever.
Swag's like riding around in a tank firing it off.
So
pretty sure they sell dynamite and put a cat logo on it.
Yeah. There were big, giant, massive bottle rockets that we had to put down a lead pipe in order it was great. So after that went away, like to come back to Oregon.
You can't match that.
And your fountains and your ground balloon, I'm like, no. I mean, when Pax was little, we got him some so he could do it. But after that, I'm like, I'll go to the big shows if we're still doing them. Yeah. But outside of that, I'm not wasting money.
Mm.
No. If there's not potential to seriously blow off a digit,
You need a little danger mixed in there.
I'm kind of with you. Those Oregon largely sucks for that reason. Ground fireworks are just terrible.
No.
They're not good. You buy these boxes and like the main one says the electric explosion 5000 and you think this is going to get wild.
No.
It's not. It's just going to pop up in 19 different spots and be 7 feet high and that's it.
Yeah. I need mortar shells. I need Roman candles. I need serious bottle rockets.
If your firework does not go off like this, I'm out.
No good.
I'm not interested.
We were lighting a lot of fountains over at the Dirt household.
Why? Did you buy fountains?
Yeah, we had little fountains, man. Come on. Ooh, that one crackled a little bit. That one changed colors.
How's the dog with fireworks?
The dog is terrified. Yeah. Absolutely terrified. Which we had a nice little experience last night in the neighborhood because there was still one guy. Yeah, there's always got to be the one guy that's lighting off like mortars from like 10 to midnight. You know, even though it's July 6th. Still that one guy. And randomly, with a couple of windows open in the house, we heard one of the neighbors walk out and say, "Would you shut up?"
Did they stop?
I think they actually did after that. Yeah, I can't remember if there was another one or not, but we were chuckling like, yeah, I feel the same way, buddy. I feel the same way.
What if the guy lighting was just going, "I'm going to light until somebody says to stop."
It's like, what are you doing, man? And it was like one, you could tell it was like one guy on his own, basically. It was like one firework every like 5 minutes. And he'd load the next one up and then light it off. You just hear a big loud bang. It's like, dude, it's like 10:30 on a Monday night. It's July 6th. We don't need to be doing this anymore.
What was, I was actually pretty surprised. I replied to one of your tweets with a poll question. And yeah. I was actually surprised. I was expecting to get like 15 votes just because it's a reply.
Yeah, there's a lot of votes. I retweeted that bad boy to make sure it wasn't circulated.
Yeah, and
I think July 5th took the cake.
July
over June.
5th won, but did you talk about the show yesterday?
Oh, I absolutely did. Now, Jolene, June fireworks being worse because they catch you off guard. I said July 5th fireworks because I'm done with it. It's like when people want to play me Christmas music on December 26th. Yes. I don't want to hear it. I'm done. I'm moving on to the next holiday.
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
They both suck.
Right? Because June is like, bro, we're not even in July. And then July 5th, 6th, because I had them last night in Oregon City going off. All you're thinking is, why didn't you light them all on the 4th?
Right.
What did you hold them for?
Why are there leftovers? And we had a couple of vets that texted in, and those are the kind of people you think about. Dog owners, people with young kids, vets, that kind of stuff. Like, the 4th of July is much different for them. And he said the vets were texting him basically saying, we can handle the 4th because we're prepared for it. We know that they're coming. But then you're sitting around the next night, and you hear loud booms going off outside your living room, and that's going to shake you up a little bit.
Did you watch the Five Bloods?
I did not.
You didn't watch our movie?
No, I didn't watch the movie, sorry. Yeah, I know. I failed miserably.
I'm so disappointed. Let's find out what's on tap. Come back to this.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
I'll say this. It was a bit long.
Long movie.
It said 2 hours and 30 minutes. It felt like a 3.5 hour movie.
That's a long one.
It was interesting. But the thing that made me think of it was that, the PTSD thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's a prominent part of the movie. Okay. Like, very prominent part.
Well, I'll watch it this week and we'll react. I promise.
I don't know if you're going to like it.
Really?
I don't know where people are that have seen that movie.
Okay. I like Spike Lee movies. I like war movies.
It's not as much a war movie as you think.
Okay.
And I'm sometimes also bad at picking up what the message is. I can think it's like four different messages versus like, was Spike Lee really aiming for this one message in particular? Okay. What's on tap? Well, we got a lot that's on tap today. Herm Edwards is going to give us his thoughts on college football. There is growing support for one angle. I'm sure you dove into this a little bit yesterday, but there's also a sports league that's not making people feel optimistic.
Nope.
Bob Fesco is a morning host at 610 Sports Kansas City, our sister station over there. Patrick Mahomes signed a contract.
I heard about that. It's kind of big news, yeah.
We're going to break that news, give you the details. We'll talk about it, what it means, and then also kind of looking at the world of black quarterbacks. Because if you look at the pay structure of top-paid quarterbacks, it's probably going to be prominently black quarterbacks Dak's going to get his deal.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson's going to get a deal. Russell Wilson just got it, and Patrick Mahomes just got one.
That's a good point I didn't really think about.
So we'll dive into that a little bit today. And you know, if Lamar Jackson stays healthy and puts up godly numbers, he's going to get a deal.
He'll get there.
Anfernee Simons is being called a bust already. Well, not exactly a bust, but it's not encouraging. So we'll dive into that today as well. We've got NFL True or False Crunch Time. We got the mail sack to get through. So get your mail sack questions in at 503-250-1080. That's what's on tap. And it's brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the Beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We start with one sports league kind of being a Debbie Downer on the return during COVID. And Herm Edwards sounds off, and I think he makes a great observation and point, and we'll talk about that. Dirt and Sprague, happy to be with you on this Tuesday on sport on 1080thefan.com and radio. No,
a little that rusty. Yeah. That one didn't come off the tongue very well.
Well, I was gonna say radio.com and 1080 the fan.
Let's go ahead and take two.
All right, Dirt and Sprague, we're back on radio.com and 1080 the fan.
There we go.
All right, we'll have boots on the ground in Kansas City. Bob Fesco of 610 Sports Radio over there in KC is going to join us for the ticker to talk about the Patrick Mahomes half a Billy contract. Is he going to make $1 billion in sports deals? I was thinking about that because he's...
I mean, he's going to make at least $30 million a year, I'd say, in endorsements.
If he stays healthy... No, I'm thinking of contracts because if he stays healthy and he can play to like Tom Brady age... Who's to say he doesn't get something similar if he's still putting up?
Well, he's 24 right now.
So he'd be 34 years old, man.
34.
That's, if you go by the Brady timeline here, that's an additional 9 years of football.
Yeah, I'm not going to put that on his shoulders because there's only one Tom Brady that's been able to do that. And I think the norm for most quarterbacks is lasting until... I've kind of put a lid on it at 40, usually in a high earning potential. So I'd give him another 5 years on top of that. He's got, I mean, if you add endorsements onto it, I think he'll definitely
he'll make
get there.
$1 billion.
But contractually, I'm not quite sure about that. Because you gotta stay healthy. You got to make sure everything's still on track in 11 seasons from now or 12 seasons from now. It's a long ways off.
Well, look, we have to monitor this stuff. I know it can get a little mundane, but this is what we're dealt. This is the hand of 2020. We've got sports getting very close to returning as a whole. Obviously, the PGA, NASCAR, UFC, all of those have been coming back and doing pretty well. The NASCAR ratings I saw were up.
Yeah, I saw they had good ratings this weekend.
Which is great. I haven't particularly followed it all that closely.
People are psyched about the UFC fight, too, apparently, this weekend. I think one of the guys tested positive, and then they brought some other big fighter in.
Yeah, it was a last-minute invite.
Yeah, and everybody's jacked about it.
It's at Fight Island, too.
Yeah.
It's the debut of Fight Island. So we've got those, but the NBA is coming back at the end of the month. Baseball is supposed to return here in about July, what,
23rd, I think, is the opening day. They announced the schedule yesterday, but I'm not very encouraged right now, but that's a whole different conversation.
Well, the MLS is also doing a kickoff tournament. They've already had to cancel their first game due to positive tests. I think five players on Nashville's team tested positive. FC Dallas had to back out of this thing.
Yeah, they sent them home.
So not encouraging. Herm Edwards was on Golic and Wingo. I heard this late last week on like Thursday, so we didn't get to it Friday, and I'm sure you've discussed college football at large, but I thought this was a great point. I was driving around late on a Thursday night, and I heard this in my car. This is Herm Edwards, head coach of Arizona State football. He was just kind of walking you through, how do you figure out to navigate through COVID and everything? Here's Herm Edwards.
I think as you go through every phase, you go, okay, that's one, that's a checkpoint. But all it takes, here's the main issue. All it takes is, for instance, a locker room. You guys have been in a locker room. Right now in our locker room, you can't have two starters by each other in the locker room. Because if one guy's affected, the other guy's out too. So now you got to separate the locker room. We got to use two locker rooms.
He also went on to basically say, what do you do if two or three of your quarterbacks get it and you don't have a quarterback?
Yeah.
And I know this has already kind of been talked through and we continue to do it, but it's of large interest here, right? We want to know if Oregon, Ohio State's going to have them. We want to know if OSU is going to Stillwater. Is Washington going to host Michigan? There's a lot on the line here. Now, the Ivy League has already come out and they've kind of been the leader in this. Mm-hmm. They're not one of the Power Five, but...
Well, we talked about it yesterday because, remember, they were the first conference tournament to cancel.
Yes, they were.
And they did it on the Monday, I want to say, or early on in the week, like 3 or 4 days before everything else canceled. When they initially did it, everybody made fun of them and said they're being overreactionary. Why would you do this? This is stupid. You're canceling your tournament. And then I think they did it on March 10th, and 4 days later, every major sporting event in America had been canceled or postponed.
There was a media member that said they had talked to an individual closely tied within the Power Five. And that individual off the record said the one thing that's building right now that's probably going to come out in the next week or so, he thinks the movement and push towards spring football is almost a definite because there's too many unknowns and uncertainties going through and figuring out how you do a season mm-hmm. with COVID, potentially no fans. Like, who's to say we have fans in spring? I would hope optimistically we could.
Sure.
But that's a conversation for a different day. But they could be looking at it as no fans. How do you deal with positive tests? How do you deal with campuses opening back up? There's so many variables that college football right now, it just looks more and more each and every day like spring football is inevitable.
And I have been on that train for a long time now. I just think it's smarter to give yourself extra time. Understand the landscape a little bit better. Hopefully we have a better grasp of exactly what the virus is doing and have it somewhat under control. There's no guarantees. It's still a risk for next spring, but you're giving yourself far more runway to figure things out than trying to get this stuff going in the next week. Like the football schedule calendar for a lot of conferences really kicks up in 6 days. July 13th is when you can start to have more serious practice and kind of get things going. And then your 6 week calendar to lead up to week zero, which is what, the week before Labor Day, I believe, kicks in like the week after that. So we're talking about in the next 2 weeks, practice is ramped up. And I've seen a lot of conferences come out and say, we want to give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they can make it work. And let's see after July 13th, let's go a week or two and see what the numbers look like on campuses all across the country. But if things continue on this trend, that to me is a no-brainer decision for them to make. And is it an easy one to make? No. Is it going to make everybody happy? No. But every sport is trying to find a way to still have a season. And the NCAA can't afford to not have a football season next year. They have to have a season. So will there be issues with players potentially wanting to opt out and go to the NFL? Like, of course there will be. Will there be issues on when you end the season and start fall camp the next year and there being not a long layoff between that? Like, of course there's going to be all sorts of issues with it. But you're giving yourself, it's July now, you don't have to get ready and get going until January or February. That's a long time to figure things out instead of saying, hey, next week,
yeah,
let's hope things look good. And I've seen the big fear that I have, and this is why I'm optimistic somewhat about the NBA, but not so much other sports. We've talked about this a million times, but the NBA has a lot of money. I think the players really care about finishing out the season. They're really invested in it, and they're in a bubble. The other sports that are traveling from city to city, like, it all comes down to what they're doing away from the ballpark, away from the field. Like Larry Scott last week was talking to people on the NCAA call on like Friday night, and he said a lot of the tests that have happened at Pac-12 institutions, they have basically traced back to kids being kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're back on college campuses, and a lot of these places, bars and restaurants, were back open when players were coming back. So you can follow all the right protocols, all the right testing, two locker rooms, space them out in the locker room, make sure nothing bad happens when they're under your control. And then guess what? You're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old kids who, as we've seen in certain parts of the country, don't really understand the risk, and they don't think that there's a high level of a chance of something bad happening to them, and they're going to go out and be college kids. And that's just really, really difficult to police.
What does the MLS leave you feeling, though? Because you said the NBA, you think the NBA, and I'm kind of with you, like the optimism is there. Now, players are dropping out, not at a substantially high rate, but I think they're proving more and more like this whole 22 team return was stupid.
It was a bad idea from day one.
It's all about Zion, and now you have the Nets without their starting five going. You've got Washington basically becoming useless and irrelevant in the East. And you look around, LaMarcus is not going. One of the Blazers assistant coaches is not going. I'm with you in the optimism, but the MLS thing, they're in a bubble too. They're in Orlando. They're in the same area that the NBA is. And so even though the NBA clearly has more money, I don't know how optimistic I am. I'm hoping to be, you know, getting a season at some level and having it finish out. But God, man, I don't know what you do if four prominent players test positive. And this goes back to the argument we've had since day one of this when sports stopped. It's one thing to say, yeah, we're going to return. We're going to bubble them. They'll be tested all the time. That's great in theory, but once you start losing 3 to 4 prominent players of a 8 to 9 man rotation, are we just gonna, we're just playing the games right as is, and there's no big deal there? I think the NBA could be in for a bit of a rude awakening here, and I hope it doesn't happen. But the MLS thing was kind of like, whoa, Dallas got sent home, and now Nashville, they're talking about maybe sending Nashville home. Their first game of their tournament got canceled. I don't know where this is leading, but the MLS start is not encouraging, and all the talk around college football, Dirt, they have to make the decision by the end of this month.
Yeah, they have until the end of July.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If they want to play fall, even a slightly delayed fall schedule, it has to be made by the end of July 31st.
Yeah, and the commissioners have said, we talked about this yesterday, that there's four main options they're looking at. Full normal season, like everything is scheduled, playing just conference-only opponents, whether it's 9-game, 8-game, however many you play. Delaying the season, you know, a month and then trying to get going, which I don't understand why that works in any way, shape, or form. And then moving the season to the spring. Those are the four things that they're looking at right now. They've got to have a football season in some way, shape, or form next year. The MLS stuff is terrifying for the NBA. I agree 100% because it's the same location. It's a major professional sport. And maybe I shouldn't, because baseball is proving that they have all the money in the world and nothing is working for them. The Giants just became the latest team to have to cancel their practice today because they did tests over the weekend. They haven't gotten the results back yet, so they can't go out and practice. So they're like the fifth or sixth team now that has had to cancel or postpone a practice in the first week back, which is a terrible look. Chris Bryant came out and said he got tested last week. He was supposed to get tested 2 days later, but there were no tests available for him, so he went a couple extra days without getting tested. Like, baseball is a terrible look right now. I'm just giving the NBA the benefit of the doubt because of the money that's involved, and I don't think they're going to make the same mistakes that the MLS is making.
Well, they can learn from each other, right?
If they were going to make these mistakes, they at least now see that that is not working, and your stuff will get shut down 1 week in, because I'm not very optimistic the MLS is even going to pull it off at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man, but a lot of signs just point to delay, 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 or maybe not even happening. Let's keep our fingers crossed as sports fans out there. That they can figure this out. But the MLS, they had to cancel their first game of the tournament. And Herm Edwards was on ESPN Radio last week, and he basically said, you have to do so much. You can't practice ones against ones because you can't expose your starters to one another and put them in a position where you lose guys on both sides of the ball. So college football has to the end of the month to make their decision as well. Coming up next for the Daily Ticker, we're going to go to Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes just signed for $500 million. What this means for their franchise, the future of it, all of that with Bob Fesco of 610 Sports and KC next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, Bob Fesco covers Kansas City Chiefs and all things KC for 610 Sports Radio. Fesco in the morning. You can find him on Twitter at Bob Fesco. He joins us now. Patrick Mahomes signs one of the biggest contracts, if not the biggest contracts, in sports history. And Bob is on the line now. Bob, it's good to have you with us back here in Portland, man. Thanks so much for hopping on. Where does this rank just in general as the biggest day in Kansas City sports history of him signing that deal?
Well, I would think it's probably number three in the last 5 years behind the World Series championship and the Super Bowl championship. And maybe you factor those parades in a little bit, but Chiefs fans are very, very happy as well today because they've got their guy locked up, you know, and it was fun to be on the Zoom call with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Brett Veach, the general manager today. And Veach couldn't stop smiling. He was smiling the entire time to get this deal done. And it's something that's been, you know, being worked on for a long time. For the last couple of years, they've been working on a contract to get something done with him. And so I think it's top five, top 10 day in franchise history and really in Kansas City sports history. And also, I think what's interesting about it is that, you know, we've got now the highest paid athlete in the history of American professional sports. Never did I think that, you know, working and living here in Kansas City, that we'd have that experience.
Yeah, I never thought it would be an NFL player. Mike Trout's deal is, what, $426 million, something like that. I never thought there'd be a contract that would top that, and here we are. Mahomes is saying, hold my beer. What was the reaction for you when the deal was signed? Because we've debated this for months now. How much is he going to get? How long is he going to sign for? When's the extension going to come? Like, there's been this back and forth for a long time. Never in a million years did I see him signing a 10-year extension and being under contract for, like, 12 years. What was just the reaction that you had to the terms of the deal?
Not enough money for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I saw the deal come down. I'm like, I think the team got a pretty good deal in this one. And they all talked about it today. And we've talked about it a lot, you know, for the last couple of days and hours or whatever we've been on the air talking about this, is that, you know, this is one of those deals where, like, nobody's looking around going, you know, you got screwed or you got screwed or you won or you won. And I think the team made it very clear today, this wasn't about winning a deal. It was just getting a deal done that worked for everybody and worked in everybody's favor. And that's what happened. It's amazing when you go into a contract negotiation, try to do what's best for everybody involved, how everybody comes out pretty happy with what they were able to get done. And Patrick stressed a number of times today, and as did Andy Reid and Brett Veach, the GM, that this was all about getting a deal that would take care of Patrick, but also continue to keep the franchise in the ability to sign guys long term that aren't just named Patrick Mahomes. And he's only like a $6 million cap hit this year, guys. And so he's got an opportunity now to still make his money and still keep the door open for other guys like Chris Jones to re-sign and stay a member of this Kansas City Chiefs franchise for a couple more years to come.
Yeah, Bob Fesco, host of Fesco in the Morning for 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City, our sister station over there, as Patrick Mahomes signs for $500 million. The element of this that's non-Kansas City Chief related, but I think is kind of an interesting point, is how many teams you guys just screwed over by getting Patrick Mahomes this deal who have quarterback contracts that are coming up. Dallas, Houston, Baltimore is going to have one really soon with Lamar. I mean, just the idea that he signed for $500 million and now what these other teams have to decide with guys that they potentially have to pay.
Well, and I would caution all of those teams, you don't have Patrick Mahomes, and don't go out there and spend Patrick Mahomes type money. I think when you look at Dak Prescott, they're apparently, I missed the memo, but when you play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, that entitles you to being the highest paid quarterback, even if you're an 8-8 football team. I don't understand the love affair with Dak Prescott. Win some games and behave during COVID and be a leader during COVID, and maybe we can talk about paying. Lamar Jackson turtles in the playoffs. As much as I love Lamar Jackson, he is the reigning MVP, but his playoff record speaks for itself. And Deshaun Watson, he's the guy that I probably would pay closer to Pat money than anybody out there, because he's done a great job of pulling Bill O'Brien behind him, man. I mean, he's done a really good job of playing well when he's got a head coach that puts all these kind of obstacles in his way. And so I love all three, the two guys. I'm not a huge Dak fan, but I love Deshaun Watson. I love Lamar Jackson. But they're not Patrick Mahomes. And if anybody thinks that they can top Patrick Mahomes or pay a quarterback more money than what Patrick Mahomes is getting right now, I think you're setting your franchise up for failure, because you're not going to get the results that Patrick Mahomes gets you. I mean, I can see them going 192-0 over the next 12 years. I just don't see a team out there beating these guys.
I love it. Now, purely speculation, but I am curious, because we were talking about it yesterday. He has a great relationship, it appears on the outside looking in, with his head coach, and it's just a great partnership that they have. Such a brilliant offensive mind, Andy Reid, to go with his talents. I think Andy Reid is 62 years old. How many years do you think of this contract will he end up coaching?
Well, I've called it the greatest marriage in sports history, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, because I just think the two of them together are perfect. MJ, you know, was there, and Phil Jackson was there, but Phil dealt with a lot of the other guys and really had to focus on MJ all that much. Bill and Tom up in New England were kind of, you know, a marriage of convenience. Like, after 10 years, they just stayed together for the kids, you know, type of thing. This is truly a love-filled marriage, and both make each other better in it. But Andy Reid, you know, one of the coolest things that I've ever seen at a game was, I think it was after one of the playoff games down in the tunnel, Andy comes walking up and sprinting goes his, like, three-year-old granddaughter going, "Grandpa, Grandpa," and jumps into his arms and he gives her a big hug. And so I know how important family is to him. I could see Andy going maybe four more years, five more years, maybe he gets halfway through this contract. But you know what? Stranger things have happened, man. I mean, who knows where, you know, life is going to be at that point in time for everybody. And so, but if I'm a betting man, I would say five or less years probably.
You know, Bob, a lot of people have talked about with quarterbacks, I would say the last two, maybe a year of now, but people have kind of brought up that quarterbacks eventually could tie their salary to a percentage of the salary cap. Were you surprised he didn't do that?
Yeah, a little bit. I was, because I think from my standpoint, I always envisioned him signing a deal, and then, you know, because of the way sports works, the next guy was going to top that. Well, the percentage would put him above that guy. He would always find a way to stay the highest paid player in the game. But he said today, that, look, he goes, this was not about a cash deal. This was about a deal that made sense so I could get other guys signed and continue this dynasty. They called it a quote-unquote legacy deal, not a cash deal that he was trying to sign here in Kansas City. So they kind of keep that number flat going forward and make sure that you have enough money to sign everybody else for you. And with the salary cap, too, in the situation we're in, I bet you they probably had to do a hard right turn when they went, oh, wow, the salary cap could drop over the next couple of years because of this COVID situation.
Yeah. Well, and would you say, Bob, your best guess, because I haven't seen details yet, so if they're out there, apologies, or maybe you have some insight. Are we assuming the front half of that contract when it kicks in is probably more front-loaded than it is back-loaded? He'll make more in the beginning of that deal?
No, the first 3 years are still very team friendly for him and very salary cap friendly. I believe like this year is going to count less than $6 million under the salary cap. So he's going to play out those last couple of years of that rookie contract, and then the money is going to kick in. Look, I don't expect them to reach the end of this contract because I think he's going to play so well, they're going to have no choice but to renegotiate this thing probably about halfway through this deal. But the first couple of years are very team friendly to allow the organization to get some other guys signed and do some more business.
Yeah, that was kind of the follow up I had too, is just looking at the next couple of years for them. They came so close to beating New England 2 years ago in the AFC title game, fell short there at the end, you know, D-Ford, all that stuff. Then you win the Super Bowl this next year. Where's the roster at just coming back in the next two, 3 years? I know Chris Jones wants a new deal, Tyreek Hill, all that kind of stuff. Just what's the rest of the roster looking like for them to continue to make runs here outside of Mahomes in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, it's very young. Other than Travis Kelce, everybody's under 28 years, you know, of age. And so you got Mecole Hardman, who's on a rookie contract. Obviously, their first-round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, on a rookie contract right now. You know, you've got Tyreek Hill, who's got a very team-friendly contract. Obviously, Sammy Watkins signed back with a very team-friendly contract. And so you've got 20 of 22 starters coming back. And I think that's so significant, not just to give you the opportunity to run it back like they're talking about doing, obviously, here in Kansas City, but also for the opportunity to not really have to learn anything new. You didn't have any new players that have to come in and really learn a whole heck of a lot new. And with an offseason that basically didn't exist except for some Zoom calls, I think the Chiefs are set up in great position.
Bob, we'll get you out of here on this one, man. Let's take the 12 years, the next two, and then the deal kicks in for the 10. Let's just take 12 years from now. And I don't care how cocky you get with this answer. How many Super Bowl championships will you have in the next 12 years with Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I think the expectation for me is you've got to win the division every year. Look, Tom Brady did it for 20 straight years. You win the division every year. That's a no-brainer. You make 6 Super Bowls and win 3 or 4 of them.
Okay, 3 to 4. Good stuff, man. Bob Fesco, 610 Sports Radio in KC. Fesco in the morning. Give him a follow on Twitter. Bob, thanks so much for the time. It's good to have you back on, and congratulations to you guys. It's nice to keep a superstar athlete in your city.
It really is, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff from Bob Fesco of 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Fesco in the morning. Patrick Mahomes, up to $503 million he could earn.
Yeah, 3 to 4 Super Bowls. I don't know how anybody would be willing to bet the under, just with the way the financial.
How many?
Three to four. I don't know. Are you betting the? I'm not betting the under on that. I know we had a true or false coming on that at 1:30 today.
I mean,
the guy's tied up for now 11 years. It's a great matchup between a quarterback and a head coach.
There could not be a better relationship with coach quarterback.
I think the bigger concern is Andy Reid's health, quite frankly.
Sure. How long can he hang on? I mean, 62.
Come on. The big guy, he's doing great.
I mean, yeah, but I'm with you. You just wonder how many, and that's why I asked. I just was curious what their thought process was of how many years of the deal will he coach.
Andy Reid is going to be the guy that is the same body weight, and he lives to 93. And there's going to be some like, how did that happen? But
he's got to roll back the cheeseburgers.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of success with those cheeseburgers.
He was rocking a good-looking Hawaiian shirt on the teleconference today.
Dude,
I'm all about it.
There's not a better Andy Reid than in a Hawaiian shirt.
No.
They had the Triple D marathon over the 4th of July, and there's an episode where he meets up with Guy at his...
barbecue?
No, it's a burger spot, and he, like, 2 bites devours this thing.
God.
Like, oh, my Lord.
Man. I will say the one thing that I'm going to remind myself for as long as I possibly can...
Yeah.
Is enjoy Patrick Mahomes, because I will eventually get to the point where I cannot stand him and I will hate him because he's going to win like 18 Super Bowls in a row. It's going to get to the Tom Brady point. It's going to get to the Golden State Warriors point. Nobody likes dynasties.
That's not true.
Yes, that is true.
We like to say we don't like dynasties.
You're just weird. Oh, you like watching Golden State win 4 titles?
No.
Were you rooting for Golden State to win last year?
No.
Then why weren't you rooting for him? I thought you liked dynasties.
No. What I mean by that is we still have not proven the alternative. The reality is we watch dynasty teams more than we watch one-offs.
I'm not saying rating. I'm saying we don't like to watch the same team win every year.
Oh, yeah. No,
That's my point. Yeah, so I'm going to enjoy it until he wins like four Super Bowls, and then I'm going to adamantly root against him because I'm going to want somebody new to win.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to tell you right now, I will never get sick of him. I love watching him play football. He carries himself very well.
Sure. Personally, I'll never get sick of him.
Yes.
But if he wins five of the next seven Super Bowls, but you're just going to be like, sweet, Kansas City won again.
Okay, we'll carry this over to the other side. Doesn't that kind of contradict your point of not taking him for granted and just appreciating what he is? Well, I want you to hold the thought there. You can chime in. Do you think you're going to get sick of Patrick Mahomes if he continues a run of like dominance within the NFL? What are your thoughts on what other quarterbacks should make? And more on that topic. We'll get to it. 503-250-1080. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on The Fan. All right. We'll get to Anfernee Simons and John Hollinger, what he gave his two cents on. Did you get to that yesterday?
Did not. I had it in the notes, but I did not get to it.
He had a pretty good range of topics yesterday, so I'm
glad
you didn't get to it.
We were loaded yesterday, man. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But Patrick Mahomes, he can earn up to $503 million, $477 guaranteed with the Kansas City Chiefs. 2 years still left on his deal, so that deal won't even kick in for another two seasons. They can try to figure out who they want to sign, who they want to keep before all that happens. But Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning, 610 Sports Radio, just joined us for the ticker. If you missed that interview, it's pretty informative, and he gives some interesting thoughts on Kansas City's future with Mahomes. At 1080thefan.com, Les Schwab Tires Podcast. I do find it interesting in the stance you took of I don't want to take Patrick Mahomes for granted, because I think you and I are in lockstep here. Largely in our lives, we get great athletes, and you kind of get divided a little bit on them. Like, I didn't root for Michael Jordan when he played. I actively rooted against, because every kid I knew was this bandwagon Bulls fan and acted like they loved the Bulls. And it was really just a Michael Jordan thing. And so that led me to root against him a little bit and go against the grain.
Also him beating the city you live in the NBA finals. You remember that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he beat both teams that I liked in the finals. So growing up, you kind of go through that. I'm at a point now where I won't root for a team, but I can still really appreciate and love watching the player in any sport. You saying don't take Patrick Mahomes for granted while also saying you're probably going to get sick of him if he continues to win at a high clip. I wonder how many other people are in that same camp as you, that you can't deny that he's entertaining.
No.
He's charismatic. You love the Cajun voice. You love all that. The relationship with Andy Reid seems like it's just dynamite. It's awesome. And he beat my team in the Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, outside of like some play calling and bad defense at the end, I wasn't as mad at watching my team lose as I thought I would be, just because I was happy for Andy Reid and Mahomes is so fun. But I think there's a lot of people probably going to end up being in your camp where they love him now, but in 4 to 5 years, he's winning so much that you just get sick of him and you want to drive him out.
Yeah, and I don't even, like, I'm always going to appreciate him. I appreciate greatness. You know, I cannot want LeBron to win a title for the Lakers, but still appreciate how dominant of a basketball player he has been over the years. I think we as sports fans, we have differing opinions on it that end up kind of in the same camp, right? I think we hate dynasties, but we also love dynasties, right? Like, dynasties get incredible ratings. People would rather watch an NBA Finals that has a team that is playing for their fourth or fifth champion, or a Super Bowl that includes the New England Patriots because they're breaking history and going for another record-setting Super Bowl, than two random teams, right? If you throw, you know, the Dolphins versus the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, you're probably not going to rate that well, even though it might be entertaining for the point that neither of them have won a Super Bowl recently. The point that I'm just making is I think we get there with every sports franchise, right? When Golden State first broke onto the scene, they were awful for their entire existence, essentially, for the last 40 years. They won a championship, and it was like, look at that, that's kind of cool. They won a finals. How about Golden State? I never saw that coming. They've been a laughingstock my entire life. And then they won another one. And then they went back to another one. And then they went to another one. And it continued year after year, and it gets to the fatigue point. I think we had that same thing with New England, right? New England and their existence as an organization, the only thing that we knew them for was going to Super Bowl and losing to Brett Favre and having Drew Bledsoe. They win the first one. It's like, Brady, they beat the greatest show on turf. That's pretty crazy. And then they did it again and again and again. And there's a fatigue. We love to watch it because it's a dynasty, and it's going to get better ratings than a random Super Bowl. But we eventually get there with every team that wins.
Can I throw a little wrench in your examples here?
Sure.
I think they're valid, and you're right. I think the reason we hate the Yankees and the Red Sox was largely the same during their runs. The Red Sox first title was awesome, and then after that, it was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, when they broke the curse, it was amazing, and then nobody cared when they won 2 years ago.
It's because they spend a lot of money.
Right.
Right? They buy everybody. The Golden State Warriors. I'm not as convinced, maybe Draymond, but I'm not as convinced we hate them as much as we did at the end. If Kevin Durant never signs, if they win legitimately 3 to 4 championships without KD, I think, yeah, teams in the West are like, damn it, they're in a way. I don't know if you hate them on the level of the Yankees and Red Sox, but KD going there adds a huge dynamic to it.
A part of it.
And the other example was
New England.
They cheated. I mean, they've cheated along the way, and I totally get why people don't like them and they root against them. You don't really have this with Kansas City. Now, the beauty
yet.
I think the only thing that can really throw that off and get people to hate them outside of the AFC West fan base is if they have this mass collection of veteran players that go, I want a ring, I'm signed for the super cheap deal because that's all you guys have to afford me. Outside of that, how is that going to happen? He's not going to change all that much outside of just being more veteran and having a more kind of understanding of the league, also being the face of it. And as long as Andy Reid's the coach, his stuff has mainly been off the field, and that's his personal business with his family. He's been a great kind of representative of the NFL. He's not been involved with any cheating scandal, any big scandal within the NFL. I'm with you. There are teams you can point to that say we get sick of this. I think there is a chance, is a sliver. I think there's a chance they could fall into the Bulls category.
The Bulls are the only one that's ever existed in American sports.
Yes, because they become likable. Yeah, you know, it kind of becomes mundane and just consistent winning. But largely, we're not all that upset because we love Mahomes so much. I think they could fall more into that category, more so than the Yankees and the KD Warriors and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the reason why I'm making this bet right now is because Chicago is the only example in the 90s, and that was a Michael Jordan thing. Now, maybe Mahomes is to that level, and he continues to win MVPs year in and year out, and he's still a funny, laughable, I put ketchup on everything guy, despite the $500 million contract.
That's probably what you hate him for right now, is that he puts ketchup on a
right?
steak.
That's about the only thing you can say negatively about the guy. He's an incredible athlete, seems like a good dude. He uses his voice for good causes. I'm all for Patrick Mahomes, but there's only been one dynasty in American sports that we have widely accepted and continued to root for and be okay winning, unless they're ripping the heart out of your city, and that was the Chicago Bulls. Every other one we get tired of, and there's always a phase from fandoms, right? When Clemson first got good in college football and they toppled Alabama, we loved Clemson. Everybody loved to watch Alabama lose, and it was Dabo Sweeney, this dude who was an interim coach, and where'd they come from? Deshaun Watson. They found a way to win that game at the last second. Now how do people feel about Clemson?
We hate him.
You can't stand him.
Well,
now, what has Clemson done? Outside of Dabo being a little righteous, what has Clemson done? They haven't cheated. They haven't had a lot of players that have gone against the grain.
But that's the difference is
we can't stand them anymore as sports
fans.
Well,
but it's weird because with Clemson, I kind of separate them. I think Dabo's obviously a great coach. You can't argue against it. His players do love him, as controversial as he can be. Not a particularly a big fan. I don't like the holier-than-thou mentality, the, well, it's just going to go away type stuff. I'm not a big fan of that, but I can't watch them and be upset. They play football right. Venables is a great D coordinator.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course you're not upset, but I think most people would agree you'd rather see fresh faces from time to time. Watching LSU win last year was a lot of fun for people.
Would it be as fun if it was an Ed O? Because I think that was a huge element. Was
why didn't Katie? I think Joe Burrow was a pretty cool story for what he was able to pull off. But I think just having a new team win a championship, which is again dumb because they've won, I think, what, two titles this century? You know, they won one in what, like 2003 and 2007 or whatever it was. So it's not like LSU has been terrible. It was just a fresh face winning a championship. I think we tend to like that. But this is also, and we should point out, putting the cart way in front of the horse, because a listener pointed out that we said this about Seattle when Russell Wilson took them to back-to-back Super Bowls. We figured Seattle was going to be in it almost every year, which is unrealistic expectations to put on an NFL team, and they haven't been able to make it back since.
The
last difference I have, though, between them and Seattle is I don't really see it in the AFC right now. Right, the NFC, I feel like with Seattle when they were coming up, you see a Breeze at the peak of his game in New Orleans, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Philly was getting better. San Francisco's now better. In the AFC, Cam Newton is a huge question mark for me in New England. I'm not buying like the Bills or the Jets or the Dolphins, obviously. Baltimore has to prove it to me in the postseason until I'm willing to go there. That's a great story. I love Lamar Jackson, but he's 0-2 in the postseason, and he hasn't played well. Pittsburgh might be the team this year, but Ben Roethlisberger has to prove he can stay healthy because they were 8-8 without him. And then Houston has Deshaun Watson, who's the biggest threat, I would say, to Mahomes, but they have Bill O'Brien as their head coach, who I don't trust as far as I can throw him. So that's the difference with, I think, where Seattle was then and where Kansas City is now, is I'm just not seeing the landmines that exist throughout the AFC that existed in the NFC.
The difference is this, and then we'll go to hour two here. I would say that's not... That's a great thought. I was going to ask you over under 2.5 Super Bowls during this run, because I know it seems like since they won it with him,
right,
he's going
to
win 5.
Eight of them,
right,
in the next 10 years.
And it's a quarterback-driven league. I would set it more at 2.5. And if you want to take the under, great. If you want to take the over, fine. The difference between the Seattle Russell Wilson stuff and Mahomes KC is I think right now Russell Wilson's in his prime. And Patrick Mahomes, by more people, is considered probably better, if not by a sliver. I still think he can get better. And that's the insane thing, is he is only, well, he was a star. He was a third year guy last year.
Yeah, he's only started for 2 years.
2 years he started. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he won an MVP in his first year as a starter, and then he won a Super Bowl in his second year as a starter.
His first year starting into the AFC Championship. I think that's the scary difference, is Russell Wilson is as good as he's going to get right now. And his stats are going to probably maintain for the next few years. There is a chance, despite what he did his first year starting, Patrick Mahomes gets smarter, understands how to break down tape better, just gets better in general with reads and situations. There's a great chance that happens. And he's already considered by a lot of people to be better than Russell Wilson. That's the difference. Russell Wilson can overcome things, and I'm sure Mahomes and the Chiefs will deal with their setbacks too. Offensive line woes from time to time, defensive inconsistencies, right? Because that's something that's familiar with Andy Reid. But largely, he could get better, and that's the terrifying thing about it. I do agree with your AFC point.
Until Baltimore proves it, or Cam Newton stays healthy,
or anybody in his division proves
it. The Chargers, maybe Herbert hits, or Tua is the next big thing in Miami. Until I see that, I'm just not buying anybody as a threat to him in the AFC.
Groundbreaking contract yesterday. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, 10 years, $503 million is what he could earn, $477 guaranteed. I also saw this note that I make sure this Chiefs signed a player to a $477 million contract and added only 30,000 of cap in 2020.
That's scary.
So it kind of gives you an idea of where they're at. All right, loaded second hour, a lot to get to. NFL true or false at the bottom of it. We're going to start. John Hollinger, former front office exec for the Memphis Grizzlies, one of the most well-known basketball writers. He had a piece about Anthony Simons and talking about Gary Trent. A little eye-opening. And it kind of suggests that he's already punting on Anthony Simons as a basketball player. Very interesting quote. And we'll get to that hour two straight ahead. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.